Moffat here with your weekly dose of bad bulletin medicine to ease your post-election fever and soothe your afterlife afflictions with an oral application of sceptical sound therapy. Hung up in the hung parliament, sick of this sycophantic spin, feeling a bit down with Brown, less than enamoured with Cameron, and driven to bed at the thought of Clegg. Well, switch your swingometer to sceptical and get ready to tick the bad psychic box, because this week it's a psychic shenanigans special. Let's start with some self-professed psychic candidates who were asked to cast their collective thoughts over who would be first past the post in last week's general election by the Telegraph newspaper. Bearing in mind this was before the results, can we actually call them results, came in, the paper decided to cast aside the normal channels of divination and gather together a, well, what do you call a group of psychics? Leave your answers in the BP forum. Sorry, I digress. They gathered together, as they called it, a focus group of the dead, including psychics, mediums and astrologers, to predict what would be the outcome, and the results were, well, predictable. Karen Chiarello, an astrologer, I was going to say the only one not consulting the dead for her answers, but, says, the astrological charts of both main party leaders indicate significant career changes in 2010. You don't say. But not until later in the year. This points to a very close election, with the possibility of a hung parliament followed by a second election being called within 3 months of the ellipse on the 26th of June, when Cameron will be ready for a decisive win. Well, not bad. Hung parliament and possible second election. But when you consider these very predictions were also made by many non-psychic pundits all over the media, it's less written in the stars and more written in the broadsheets. Next up was Betty Palco, a medium who favours the tarot cards and angels. Anywho, Betty reckoned the Conservatives are definitely going to win. He, David Cameron, is reliable and trustworthy and noble and strong. The country will move out of the darkness and into the light. We will have prosperity, abundance and victory. Reports that Betty's angel was seen taking back handles from a Tory spin doctor are grossly exaggerated. And of course, her prediction of a definite Tory win was, well, wrong. Psychic Jennifer Whelan was next in line to be asked who will win. And after a quick consultation with Spirit, she offered, I have just been told that it's the Conservatives by a very low margin who will win. Again, not accurate, and no mention of a hung parliament. She then turned her powers of prediction to Nick Griffin, leader of the BNP, stating, Nick Griffin has really bad energy, very bad. He was hanged in a past life, and he's come back for revenge. He is on the path of darkness. Yeah, I think we all knew that without the aid of psychic powers. Well, apart from the bit about him being hung in a past life. No wonder he always sweats buckets when he's near platforms or hustings. Interestingly, they then asked Whelan about Nigel Farage of UKIP, who was all over the news this week when he survived a plane crash. Now, there's an opportunity to predict if ever there was one. So, did Whelan foretell his brush with death and fall from the skies? They don't want to tell me. They don't want me to go near his energy, and they won't take me there. My nan won't let me go there. Flippin' heck! It seems even the dead are afraid of Nigel Farage, including Jennifer's nan. But come on, faced with what would potentially be a huge media event to predict and the opportunity handed in a plate, we get strangely silent Spirit. Another fail. Celebrity clairvoyant Honor Bracks up. Who? Oh, she's done readings for Colleen Rooney. Wagwoo, Honor Bracks up, fared little better. The Conservatives will win with a small majority. So small a majority, it wasn't one in the officially recognised sense of the word. Wrong again. She went on to predict, Esther Ranson will win in Luton South. She will be the first female light entertainment MP. Wrong. Esther Ranson lost her deposit and won't be taking her seat in the Commons. But hey, that's life. So far, not one has got it right. And Richard Cuthbert, a tarot reader, wasn't about to break the trend. Labour will win with a very slim majority, possibly linked to the number 727. Random. Wrong, 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 wrong. And the best came last. Psychic Paula, in Bradford, pulled all her psychic energy together and came up with, I see an awful lot of media coverage. Yeah, we all did, Paula. So it seems that the soothsayers and psychic pundits, various guides, angels, cards and dead nans all got it wrong. That I could have predicted. Anyway, let's declare the remainder of this bad bulletin a politics-free zone, because if you're anything like me, you're about ready to hurl a ballot box at the very mention of another palm-pressing, baby-kissing, hoodie-hugging politician. Let's instead move on to the next contender in this week's Psychic Special, and we're moving up to their heavyweight division of TV career mediums, with news that US medium and doyen of machine gun delivery, John Edwards, is taking the title of his popular TV show a little too literally by crossing over. Not the Ethereal Veil, but the Atlantic this time, to Blighty. Alright, Edwards is leaving behind Las Vegas, where he's just completed a tour, and is heading for the bright lights and infamous showbiz lure of, amongst other UK hotspots, Torquay. Well, okay, it's actually a tour of the UK followed by Australia and New Zealand. Edwards was interviewed by a local South Devon news site recently, and it seems he had some interesting revelations about why he feels charging upwards of £60 a ticket is warranted. Edwards says, "I have always set my fees as slightly high for one reason. I like to weed out the people who might just want to go and have a lark or are not serious about learning. I admit openly that I'm not a patient man when it comes to people not taking this work seriously." Yep, it's all you sceptical larkers' faults he has to rake in £60 a pop. Yes, you non-believing naysayers are to blame for all those serious about learning how to talk fast and reinvent the memory of dead loved ones having to fork out more for the privilege of Edward's tutelage. The sheer cheek of you. How can you not take Edward's shotgun scattered Marie, Mary, Margaret, Maisie, Marble, Matha, Millie, work with me, there's an M in there somewhere, efforts seriously? Please, John, that is the worst excuse for hiking a price I've ever heard. The majority of sceptics wouldn't even toss a bus ticket your way, never mind anything else, so using the excuse of elevating ticket prices to keep anyone who doesn't take you seriously out of your shows is kind of mute. Fess up, you're simply making more out of the fans you know will pay it to all willingly, not to mention excluding all your faithful followers that aren't as well off. One thing's for sure, the £60 asking price isn't going on stage props, dancing girls or state-of-the-art lighting for your entertainment. "The event is me and a chair on the stage," said John. Well, unless it's a diamond-encrusted, talking, dancing, guitar-playing, joke-telling chair, John, I'm struggling to see what the entertainment bang for your buck is there. Still, I forget. It's not about entertainment, really, is it? It's a serious psychic learning session. John says, "It's all about the energy and the connection between medium and audience, and the high price keeps out the doubters." Yeah, of course it is, and of course everyone knows the price of doubt apparently is set firmly at under £60. This rubbish about price is a joke. As sickening as it is to see the countless mediums and psychics out there who take advantage of the cash-making potential to what they do, it's what they do that should really be the focus of people's concerns. They take the cherished memories you have of a loved one, and they add and embellish them with unevidenced and reinvented versions they offer instead, as if they were your own, as if they had come from the very mouth of the person you have lost, all with nothing more than their word as proof. Is that truly enough for anyone to, even for a second, take the chance that they might have the memories of that person altered or added to in any way by someone who, well-intentioned or not, has no right or knowledge or ability to do so? Why, with a lifetime of real knowledge, real memories, real emotions and feelings of that person to remember them by, would you need the afterthoughts and additions of a stranger to make that any more real or special than it already was and should be? Ironically, Edwards answers the question in part. He says, "The thing I always resonate with is the universality of grief, death, afterlife, and the healing that can happen as a result of raising the awareness about physical death for the people who attend." Yeah, John, it's the universality of grief and death and the wish for an afterlife that leads people to search out the likes of Edwards. The healing, however, doesn't come from prolonging that grief, nor does promising contact that results in the subject dying again in a way for the sitter every time the reading ends. The healing comes with acceptance, with the finality that we all eventually must face. Our memories are our lives, they are our loved ones, and they should never be desecrated with false embellishments or false hope. The fleeting comfort a psychic might bring to some searching for a connection to a loved one is nothing compared to the comfort and connection a lifetime of memories and experiences shared with that person can bring. That was real and tangible. Anything else can only be wishful thinking until proven otherwise. As bad psychics go, I think the kind who claim to be able to solve murders and find the criminals who commit these crimes without a shred of evidence to prove these claims are amongst the worst. These psychic detectives range from the well-intentioned but wildly inaccurate to the hell-bent in publicity, manipulative, grief-seeking mongers who approach the families of murder victims or missing persons with a view to playing all concern for their own greedy ends. At best, they simply offer a useless piece of information that provides little in the way of insight, wasting police time and checking out leads they have to investigate regardless, in case there is a less than psychic reason for their insight. And at worst, they destroy further the victims' families with false hope and wasted money, time and resources, when at the end of it all, they still are left with no closure or answers. There are countless claims of helping police, solving crimes and naming the perpetrator out there, all over your TV screens, newspapers and internet sites, but not one of them has been verified, proven or evidenced as being true. And sadly, a brief read of the hundreds of high-profile murders and missing person cases we see on a daily basis from around the world unsolved and are still under investigation, despite the efforts of countless psychics, shows that evidence for their claims is gossamer thin at best. One such Canadian-based medium, who claims to be a self-professed police psychic and to have worked with police and families on high-profile unsolved cases, including the 2005 disappearance of Alabama high school student Natalie Holloway in Aruba, is Robbie Thomas. Thomas is about to attempt to name the killer of Josette Purcell, murdered 17 years ago by a still anonymous arsonist, when he and the girl's parents John and Janice Purcell get in a stage in downtown Fort Wayne in front of people who have paid upwards of $40 each to watch the macabre show unfold. I literally cannot find the words to express how abhorrent I find Thomas's use of this family's grief and desperation for answers in his pursuit of publicity and money. How he can even consider inviting people to witness this family's grief being abused live on stage as he waxes lyrical, never mind make money from doing so, is beyond any and all human decency. Especially when he has yet to evidence even one of his claims of psychically solving murders as genuine. He has the benefit of the Purcells' willing support because, simply put, they will try anything now to find their daughter's killer, and understandably, they feel hope is all they have left. But that's exactly why I find Thomas's exploitation of that so wrong. The Purcells, who have been fleeced by psychics in the past, do state they aren't paying Thomas a dime, and that the show will at least highlight and reignite the interest in their daughter's murder, hopefully, providing new leads. And I'm sure they couldn't care less what Thomas does with the publicity if it means they get a result or closure. But the likelihood of it is they won't get the answers they need from him, and this will result in more heartache for them and free media coverage for Thomas. You may find it hard to believe the parents of Josette could ever agree to this kind of circus, but I mean, after 17 years of an endless search for answers and justice for their daughter, they simply will try anything, and that's what the likes of Thomas's trade on. They are intelligent people, and are seemingly all too aware of the highly unlikely chance that Thomas' efforts can offer the killer's name, far less result in the arrest of a suspect, but they cling to that tiny chance of a lead, despite it all, because that's what 17 years of not knowing does to a person. If it helps solve this thing, I'll do anything, If I stop, then he's won, said John Purcell in a recent interview. The Purcells have resorted to all sorts of unconventional methods, billboards, rewards, regular media appeals for information, and the long search for justice and peace of mind. But their involvement with Thomas strikes me as possibly something they will regret more than anything else they have tried. The Purcells plan to bring mementos of their daughter to the show to aid Thomas in seeing images or providing clues on the night that might give them new leads to the identity of her murderer. Thomas is the subject of much sceptical comment, as you might imagine, across the internet and media, including a site named simply Stop Robbie, which, amongst others, details previous cases Thomas has claimed to have been involved with zero success. The simple fact remains, where all psychic deceptives are concerned, there is yet to be one evidenced and recorded case the world over that shows proof of a psychic solving or providing information that led directly to the arrest and subsequent sentencing of a criminal for anything, far less murder. With a psychic scoring a historical track record of zero, it's unlikely Thomas or any other psychic detective is about to change that anytime soon. Meanwhile, an East London psychic, Daphne Williams, claims she knows details about a person responsible for the deaths of several women in dense bush in West Bank, South Africa. Last month, two women's bodies and a severed human head were found in dense bush between the Mercedes-Benz South Africa plant and the harbour, taking the total number of bodies found in that area to eight. Williams claims, I haven't been invited to the place so that I can double-check what had happened, but I can tell you that something is going to happen again if nothing is done about these recent murders. Do these psychics have no sense of stating the obvious? Eight bodies in the same area, I'd say the chances of a ninth are a pretty fair bet. But for any psychic punting predictions out there, come on, this is just ridiculous. What else did she have to offer? Names? Detailed descriptions of the killer? An address for them, perhaps? Nah, nothing that useful. Just this. The suspect was a well-dressed person who was always willing to help women. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Anything else remotely useful? She claimed he was also a bag snatcher and he looks you in the eyes. Well, that narrows it down, Daphne. Do us all a favour. Unless you actually have something worth saying, keep the inane ramblings within the confines of your own mind where they were created. On to matters of a slightly lighter nature, and it seems Apple have pulled a distance healing app for the iPhone that claimed to rid the buyer of warts, all for a cool $12.99. Purchasers of Wart Healer were asked to take a photograph of their wart, which was then supposedly sent to a professional mental healer who would think it better for the next 111 days, after which first effects would be visible. I don't know about you, but a quick application of Bazooka That Baruka cream usually works a hell of a lot faster and costs a lot less. I wouldn't want to be the person who had to sift through all those uploaded pictures of owners' warts in varying bodily locations, that's for sure. Why the 111 days? Well, according to the instructions, be patient. The healer starts working during the moon's next decreasing phase, which translates as by 111 days, the afflicted appendage will either have fallen off or the wart will have gone of its own accord. The App Store says it approves all apps before release, but clearly this isn't the case here, and the store itself is full of endless quack science and psychic claptrap. One browse of the entertainment section or health section and you will find your aura reading apps, psychic reading apps and even a crystal healing bowl that excites your chakras. Still, if you're daft enough to part with $12.99 for nothing more than the privilege of taking a picture of your own wart, then you kind of deserve all the warts you get. On to an update on my exclusive report last week that put paid to the rumours that Derek Acora might be rejoining Most Haunted for a Halloween special. Yup, you heard it here first and straight from Degsy's mouth that he would most definitely not be considering any return to the Antics fold, despite the speculation that was rife across the net. Well, it seems he further elaborated on his hell would freeze over first comments in an interview this week on Real Radio North East Breakfast Show. Dexy told them, "I'm never going back to Most Haunted. I'm doing other things now and I'm going forward in a different way. I wouldn't go back on it because there were certain issues and I'd been away from it for so long. Anyway, there were certain issues that were not to my taste and certain negative allegations said against me by certain people within the programme that were grossly unfair and I don't think I should have given them the opportunity of me ever going back." Yeah, but Dexy, who said MH had even asked anyway? Wasn't the source of the return rumours the site promoting your impending tour of Oz? In another interview, he also commented on his previous departure from the show, stating, "I was ready to leave anyway. What appeared in the press was a publicity stunt. We still haven't got to the bottom of it. What was written about me had supposedly happened 13 months before. Why didn't they sack me on the spot if it was true? Why would Living then give me all these TV shows such as Derek Akora's Ghost Towns and Paranormal Egypt?" Oh, Dexy, do yourself a favour. Either spill the beans on the whole sorry episode or let the Creed Caffergate debacle die. Neither side is lily white in the matter, and unless one side cracks open a can of serious truth, there's nothing of much interest to add to all that's gone before. In more utterly useless psychic predictions this week, Finnish psychics were asked to predict the winner of this year's Eurovision Song Contest for a national Finnish newspaper. Offers ranged from, "There will be many men on stage and the winner will also be a man," to, "There will be no short skirts nor sex, but feminine beauty, longer skirts and several singers." So which is it, men in skirts with feminine beauty or several sexless singers with an aversion to minis? I think the only prediction I'm likely to believe is the last one, going to the Finns' past record for Euro failure. "It won't be Finland. Finland should have chosen the one who came second," said one of the psychics. An equally useless psychic effort also came this week from psychic snooker buddy of John Higgins, the Scots player at the centre of allegations of match throwing. John Stewart, who claims to be clairvoyant, says he got a psychic vibe last December and tipped Higgins off, but it's his description of what was to happen was anything to go by. It's no wonder Higgins didn't get what he was on about. "I got a feeling something was in the pipeline involving a wind-up on TV. I was thinking of something along the lines of Punk'd on MTV, but the meaning of the prediction has fallen into place now." Stewart clearly wasn't gifted enough to differentiate between Ashton Kutcher and a sweaty undercover journo in his vision of this thing, nor it would seem did his vision afford him a view of the resulting disaster the whole episode has so far spelled out for the Wizard of Wishaw's career hopes. If it had, Higgins might have taken his rambling a bit more seriously. Before you head off to cut the grass or hit the shops, a reminder to get yourself in front of the box on Monday night at 10 p.m, Channel 4, for the first instalment of Derren Brown Investigates. You will not want to miss this. During the hour, Derren Brown travels to Liverpool to investigate the world of the infamous Joe Power, whom you'll know from his countless mentions on Bad Psychics, amongst other things. It promises to be the stuff of TV gold from the previews, so make sure you watch on Monday night at 10 p.m, Channel 4, or somewhere, somehow, a fluffy little sceptical kitten will lose the power of critical thinking. So here we are, at the end of this week's Bad Psychics themed bulletin, and it wouldn't be right if we didn't end it on the now established way with the unmissable bit of psychic celebrity fluff item to round off the list of contenders in the regular manner. This week's celeb is the Iceland icon herself, Kerry Katona. Yep, more annoying bagpuss than Atomic Kitten, Katona, who's had more rebounds than a rubber bullet fired into a squash court, has consulted psychic Samantha, according to Now magazine, on her troublesome love life. Katona says, "I'm going to meet a guy in the summer who's dark, in the business, and has been through the same as me." Has anyone been through the same level of self-destructive drama as Katona that isn't dead or already locked up in rehab? Anyway, psychic Sam seems to think so, and she's even named the lucky beggar. "His name is Paul," Kerry reveals, "and he's very spiritual." Someone should give McCartney the heads up. There's another blonde in the prowl. Anyway, this has been Fluff It once again for the Bad Bulletin. Hope you enjoyed.
Scouse for Men, the new aftershave by Derek Acora. Check out the website at www.badcast.co.uk.